We pray.
O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Okay, you're in a grocery store, and it's Saturday morning, and it's jammed with people. Yeah, you know, every single checkout line is loaded. And you know, what do you do? You're getting ready to check out. What do you look for? You look for the line that's moving the fastest, don't you? That's the line you want to get into. Or you're on the freeway during rush hour, and you're just going at a snail's pace, and you notice that the lane, two lanes over, is going at a pretty good pace. What do you try to do? You try to get over into that lane that's moving fast. You're at a Packer game. Game's over. You're leaving the stadium. What gate do you shoot for? The one that's moving the most people the fastest. It's a natural tendency. You want to go where it's more convenient, where things are going faster, and because we, you know, we don't have that patience all the time. Well, if you look at that picture in your bulletin, you will see the graphic depiction of our gospel lesson today. Now, it's kind of difficult, because the picture's been shrunk, to see the broad road. But if you look at the near the bottom of the picture, you will see a broad road with a whole bunch of dots. That's humanity. In fact, if you look all the way to the edge, you can actually even make out some of the bodies going over the abyss and going into the pits of hell. And look at how broad that is. And look how many people are in there, and the crush of humanity. People caught up in that flow and going over the edge. And then you have the other way over the edge, and you see that as a bridge in the form of a cross. And there are a few people on it. Very few. And I want you to notice something else. Do you see any merging lanes on the cross? You see, if you're listening carefully to what's going on in the world today and in many churches, they're saying that there are many lanes to heaven. But there's only one way, isn't there? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of the false teachings that's out there is that there are many lanes joining this cross and getting us to heaven. So be aware of that. But how easy it is to get caught up in the broad way. And how difficult it is to turn back once you fall in step with the crowd. Again, look at the picture. Put yourself right in the middle of that. Right? The halfway distance between where you turned off to get on the Broadway and where you're falling into the pit of hell. Put yourself right in the middle. How hard would that be to turn back? Once you get caught up in the crowd, very difficult to turn back. Young people, don't get caught up in the crowd. Don't get caught up in the crowd. How difficult it is. I mean, have you ever tried that in the crush of humanity? Let's say that you're at a Packer game, and you're going out the gate, and you're caught up in the crowd, and suddenly it dawns on you that you left your purse in your seat. Now, in Green Bay, it might still be there. Not so in some of the other stadiums, but at Lambeau Field, it might still be there. So you decide that you're going to go back and get your purse. All right? So you turn back in the middle of this crowd of humanity. What are people going to be saying to you? I mean, they're going to be saying some not nice things to you. What are you doing? Ah! And they're going to mock you because you're trying to go against the crowd. They're not even going to be hollering at you. They're going to be talking about you. It would be better to just go with the crowd, exit the stadium, come back in another day, another way, and get your purse. That would be the smart thing to do. And that works for the Packer game, but it doesn't work for life, does it? Because once you leave the stadium of life, you're done. Hebrews says it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Well, thankfully, somewhere along the journey, in fact, anywhere along the journey, the Lord is able to pluck you out of the crowd and put your feet on the right path. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And the Lord can do this to you anywhere along the journey. How close to the edge do you think the thief on the cross was before he cried out with a heartfelt cry, Oh Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord heard his heartfelt cry and his prayer of faith, and he picked him up and set him on the road to heaven. And the text makes it clear that there are only two ways, and that there are only two ends. The narrow way leads to life, the broad way leads to destruction. So it would behoove us to understand and know what the narrow way is. And obviously, the narrow way is the way of faith, the way of putting your trust in Christ alone for your salvation. That's the narrow way. And it involves a lot more than just saying, oh, I believe in God. You know, you look at every survey, you talk with people, and you will see that the majority of people say that they believe in God. But is that enough? Later on, in this chapter of Matthew, Jesus himself says in verse 21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, it's more than just saying, oh, I believe that there's a God out there. We must be engaged in seeking and doing the will of the Father. Where do we find that? Well, we find it here. We find it in the law and the prophets, the word of God, the New Testament, the apostles' writing. We find it here. This is where the will of God is found. And Jesus said in verse 12, as he spoke about this law and the prophets, he says, Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, be very careful with what he just said here, because we have a tendency to latch on to the first part and ignore the second part. It's a huge mistake that we make, and it can set us on the wrong path if we're not careful. I mean, when you read this passage, your first thought is, well, okay, as long as I treat other people the way I want to be treated, I'll be fine. Okay? That's what we think. And we stop there. But Jesus brings in the law and the prophets. He points us back to the Word of God. Because you see, what he's really saying here is, yes, you should love each other, and you should, you know, whatever you want done to others, to yourself, rather, you should want to do to others. But it always has to be measured up against the Word of God, against the law and the prophets. Because as you submit to the law and the prophets, that is how you treat others the way that they should be treated. It springs from what you do with the law and the prophets. And you go, well, you know, that's what Jesus is saying here. Why not leave it go at that? Well, because you need to go back and check it against the Word of God. Remember what we talked about, keeping God's Word. What does it mean to keep God's commandments? What's the word keep mean? Boy, I'm going to keep doing this for months until we finally get it. It means to treasure. It means to treasure the Word of God. And if you treasure it, obedience flows out of that. But the main thing is to treasure it. So, the point that Jesus is making here is that as we treasure God's Word, and as we trust and believe and obey the law and the prophets, we are then treated to the good things that God has in store for us. Way too often we think that this law is burdensome, but it's really God wanting to give us what is best for us. And as we follow the law and the prophets, not only do we receive what is best for us, those good things that we ask the Heavenly Father for, but then we in turn also bless others as we treat them in the same manner. And you see, if we forget the law and the prophets, this is the danger. Our idea of right living will be based on our emotions. It'll be based on our feelings. It'll be based on our heart. And I mean to tell you that if you could take a look under the feet of these people on the Broadway, and if you could see the pavement, it is paved with the well-intentioned feelings of the heart. Do you really want to follow your heart? Can I give you a good reason not to? Look how easily your heart is swayed when you're watching a movie. Watch Brian's song sometime. See what that does to your heart. Watch all these Love Comes, I don't know, that whole Hallmark series. And watch what it does to your, you know, your heart is easily touched by these things. And that's good. That's the way God made us. But is it always right on? And that's the thing that we need to discern here. Your heart is easily swayed by public opinion, isn't it? It gets easily swayed. Do you really want to trust your heart? Don't you know that your heart, the Bible says, is deceitful and wicked? It will lie through its teeth to you. That's what your heart will do. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's the last thing you want to follow is your heart. Rather, seek to follow the heart of God. Seek to find the heart of God and follow it. And I'm telling you, if you honestly ask God to show you His heart, He will be more than glad to answer that prayer. That's the promise of the verses found a few back. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, who is engaged in the business of revealing the heart of God to us through this Word. The heart of God is found in the Word of God, and He is more than willing to open it up to you. I'll tell you what happens when you start following your own heart and you, at the expense of the law and the prophets and the Word of God. Babies are being aborted by the millions in this country today, in the world today, because people are following their hearts instead of the Word of God. Men and women are shacking up before marriage, fornicating, because they're following their hearts rather than the Word of God. And the mantra of the day is, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Divorce and remarriage is flourishing because people are following their hearts instead of the law. Homosexuality abounds, and it's being accepted more and more in the mainstream churches because people are following their hearts rather than the law of God. Now, carnal Christians and unbelievers may follow their hearts and seek these solutions. And I tell you, there's not much you can do about it. But never let it be said of you. You know, a classic example is Paul writing about a divorce in 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, if the unbeliever departs, let him go. All right? You don't remarry. And you keep the door open to reconciliation. But if the unbeliever decides to go, there's not much you can do about it. You try to keep that door open for reconciliation. As much as it is within your power, with all the spiritual strength that you can muster, let it be said of you, and let it, as it was said of David, that you would be a person after God's own heart. And you find his heart again in this word. You see, God's heart is not deceitful. God is not a man that he should lie. And God's heart can be trusted. When you rely on your heart and your feelings rather than God's heart, that is the road to trouble. And again, I keep saying it because his word is open, his heart is opened up to us in his word. How many of you have ever heard this? And very syrupy and nice little tones. The Bible is God's love letter to you. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Well, listen, what is a love letter if it is not the opening up of one's heart to another? God's heart, right here, longing to open it up to you and me. And what do we do with it? We set it on the shelf and it gathers dust. Or he tells us the things that he loves, but if they don't match up with what our emotions want to do, then we just ignore them. God's love letter, right here, the Word of God. And I would encourage you, if you're not doing it, every day, have some coffee and conversation with God. In the morning, get up, open up the love letter, and explore his heart. Ask him to speak to you of his heart. In our Old Testament lesson, as we mentioned, Jeremiah, God was dealing with him because he just was weary of this. All this rebuking and ill treatment of others. He was the one in the Packer Stadium going out trying to go the wrong way, and everybody was just, you know, just shut up and get in line with the rest of us. Yeah, they're all hot. I mean, he was just tired of it. And you can put him in this picture, you can put him at the junction of the road, of the narrow street and broad street. And there he is at the juncture, and he's saying, come on everybody, get off that road, it's going to hell. Come follow me on my road. And if you put him in this picture, there's one thing that's different about this picture than what he was actually experiencing. If you look at this picture, at least there were some people on the road. For Jeremiah, there wasn't anyone. No one was following him. Now put yourself in with the rest of the crowd back in Jeremiah's days, and you're coming down Broadway and you see this guy in sackcloth and he's going, no, no, don't go there, follow my way. And you stop and you go, are you crazy? There's no one on your way. Are you nuts? You want me to take that kind of a risk to get on that road where there absolutely is no one else on that road? Forget you. I'm staying here in the safety of the crowd and the safety of the masses, and I'm following them. You see where that leads. Jeremiah's dilemma. You say, all these people can't be wrong. And we have faith by popular opinion. I tell you what, I know, in my own flesh, that's what I would have done. I know I would have said that. I'm not going down that road. No one else is trying it. Let someone else try it. I'll see how, you know, that's the way it goes. I know. But thankfully, by the grace of God, I don't have to operate in the flesh. I can operate in the power of the Spirit. I can operate under the, and I can go to the law and to the testimony, and I can find out what the heart of God is, and I can get on that road. Odds are, if we're going to believe Jesus, odds are that the road with the fewer people on it is the one to go with. Not always the case, but odds are. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And God said to Jeremiah, he says, as strong as the temptation is, Jeremiah, to get in with those people, you hop in with those people, you won't be rebuked anymore. People won't be hollering at you. You can just blend in with them. He says, but don't do it. He says, don't return to them. They must return to you. And friends, in the church today, we must beware of false prophets. Because they stand at the same junction with Jeremiah on the intersection of narrow way and broad street. And what they're saying is this. They ask nothing of you. This is what a false prophet, they ask nothing of you except to be nice to the people who are on the broad way with you. I want to say that again. Because if you would just stop and examine some of the preaching that is out there today, this is what they're saying. If you boil it all down, if you strip it all away, what they're saying is this. Don't worry about how you live. Don't worry about the Word of God. Just as long as you are nice to people on this road, you have fulfilled the law and the prophets. You see, that's a half-truth. Jesus asks us to do the same thing. He says, be nice to those who are taking the road with you. Except that he says, check your niceness with what God says about how to live. And if it doesn't match up, guess what? It's not really nice at all. It's the road to destruction. And the question for all of us is always this, which road are you on? Are you on the thus saith the Lord road? Or the thus saith my heart road? The law and the prophets, the word of God, will never ever lead you down the road to destruction. But your heart, left alone, left without this check and balance, will. And you say, well, surely my heart matters for something. God gave it to me. Yeah, he did. And those feelings that you have, those emotions that he gives you, and those desires that he gives you, this is the whole point. They are best expressed. They are best felt. They are best put to eternal purposes when they are checked against the Word of God. Psalm 37:4, one of my life's verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Make yourself pliable in His hands. And that means make yourself wanting to do His will as you find it in His Word. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. We will sing the offertory as we leave with this blessing.